Hello, Suin here, and thanking you all for this privilege of sharing with you from God's Word. I'm back in Penang and still in quarantine to see my mother. She's 93, and I hope to be here over her 94th birthday. But her dementia is quite advanced, and this time round, there's a possibility she may not even remember me. And she's 93 going to 94. But I have a professor from my seminary, Dr. James Houston, who is 99 this year. And I met him about 4 years ago. And I said, "Dr. Houston, I heard that you are writing 4 books." And Dr. Houston said, "No, that's not true. I'm writing 5 books." So in my mind, I'm thinking some of these books may be finished in heaven or whatever. But I'm just stating this to show you that there's a great diversity of how people age. And we cannot stereotype, no? All people are like this, or all old people are like that. Each one is an individual. And we cannot pigeonhole people into a particular category. So even ministering to young or old or whoever, we need to start with the individual that is standing in front of us and not just think of that person purely in terms of a category. But we cannot escape the fact that more and more of us will be aging in a society that is rapidly aging. There are 3.5 million in Malaysia now above 65, which is 7% of the population. By 2040, it will be 6.3 million above 65, and that's 20% of the population. That is a large percentage. And indeed, of course, when you talk about the elderly, we are talking about us, lah, and all of us will grow old. So we need to ask ourselves as a church, what does God expect of us in this situation? How do we be ready to minister to those who are entering what I call the third of life, 60 and beyond, the third of life? What does God expect of us? So let us pray and ask God to speak to us. Father, we thank you for this privilege of gathering before your word. Although physically we may not be able to gather yet, but we are gathered around your word and we ask that your spirit will speak to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, what God thinks of the old is actually very clear. There are many places in Scripture. I'll read just one. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32, "Stand up in the presence of the aged. Show respect for the elderly and revere your God. I am the Lord." Now, it's very clear that God puts these two things together. You are to respect the elderly and revere your God. These are two connected things. That means if you are someone who revere God, you will also show respect for the elderly. This is one way we show we revere God. And I am the Lord. I'm the one who saved you. So God's demand of us as God's people, how to treat the elderly, very clear. I said, "Duh, then why must we even talk about this?" That's because we now live in a society which values three things. We value productivity. Someone is valued because they can do certain things. We value intelligence. We value someone because they can think, they can give good ideas. And we value independence. Someone is of value when they don't need other people to care for them. They can be independent. So, productivity, intelligence, independence. But as you get older, as you can see in cases like my mom, all three are no longer there. She is no longer productive. Her mind now is no longer functioning as it used to be. And she is very dependent on people to care for her. She's in a nursing home. Does that mean that she's no longer valuable in terms of our modern perception of what is important? Of course not. As Christians, we realize that everyone is important because they are made in the image of God. That alone is enough to establish their value. Whether they're productive or not, or independent or not, these are not things that God uses to measure a person's worth. The fact that we are created in God's image alone already measures our worth. Hence, God will command His people to respect the elderly, Now, this is something that God expects of us, because elderly are also those who are made in God's image. And if you truly revere God, this is our relationship with God, then one of the ways we show our reverence for God is how we respect and honor and care for the elderly. But how then do we care for the elderly? So let me just talk briefly, because this is a big topic, and maybe at some other point we could have some seminar with expertise from medical counseling as well as biblical sources. But for today, I think we care for people in five areas. I see this as how God cares for Elijah in 1 Kings 19. First of all, physical care. He cares for him. He allows him to eat and sleep to restore him physically. God, number two, cares for Elijah emotionally. He allows Elijah to voice out all his disappointments and fears and frustrations. And God listens to him without jumping to correct him. God restores him spiritually. He speaks to him in the still small voice. At the end of the day, any recovery, any ministry must be rooted in our encounter with God. And God also restores him relationally. He gave him a new bunch of khakis, Elisha, Jehu, to now form a new community. And finally, fifthly, God restores him vocationally, gave him a new job to do. What are the five things again? Physical, emotional, spiritual, relational, vocational. And I think this covers the main facets of human life, and we can use that as a guide to how we care for everyone, including the elderly. So caring for the elderly physically. So now, as I'm in my late 60s now, you find, wow, got backache lah, your energy level not the same lah, you know, your eyesight also, you need large fawn lah. So you clearly, this is a different chapter of life. And we need to come to terms with that. Of course, different people age differently. Some are still very healthy, you know, taekwondo at 80 or whatever, but some struggle with physical ailments fairly early. So we really have to take each person as they are. But the fact is, therefore, how do we care? And there's a lot of literature out there now, caring for the physical health of the elderly. What does it mean for exercise or diet or sufficient rest at this chapter of life? And if they do need extra help because of health struggles, how do we care for them? And really, if we don't, then we get help. How do we care for the physical needs of the elderly? It's a very fundamental and basic question. Because we don't talk about spiritual, emotional, if their basic body really is giving them a lot of difficulties. Number one is physical. Number two is emotional. Remember how God listened to Elijah as he poured out all his frustration. Nobody loves you, I'm the only one. And then God just listens without judgment, although he would correct him later. And a lot of emotional healing actually is to have people who take us seriously enough to listen to us. We go through life often without anyone really listening. So much of our communication is very transactional. We talk to people only when we need something from them, but we don't actually listen to their heart, to listen empathetically. So when you are at the later stage of life, there could be emotional struggles with things in your past, regrets of decisions you made, guilt because you have done or believe you have done something wrong, or anger because you think people have wronged you. So there are a lot of things in our life, and the older you get, the more potential baggage you have. And how do we help to minister to people emotionally so that they can handle these negative emotions in a healthy way, in a biblical way? But of course, looking forward, the elderly also have things to grapple with. They grapple with loneliness. We'll talk about that a bit later. They will grapple with fears. Will I have enough to sustain me financially until the day I die, whenever that is? And of course, they will be questioning the whole phenomena of death. I'm now closer to the day of my death than my birth. So all the songs, all the theology, but what does death really mean? So There's a lot of things going on in the life of the elderly where they need loving people to listen to them empathetically to process their emotions. But of course, listening to the elderly means sometimes you have to hear the same stories again and again. I remember when my father was still around, every Chinese New Year, he would tell the same story, how during the war, you know, the Japanese bombed his building and all that. So every year, he'd tell the same story. I said, okay, man, I know this story already. I even know the punchline already. Then at some point, it really dawned on me that Dad is telling me all these things, not because I don't know. He's telling me these things because they are important to him. When you're young, your life is ahead of you. When you're old, your life is behind you. And you need to recount those meaningful experiences, meaningful memories. So when I learned that, I shut up and I just listened. And now Dad has gone back to the Lord. I wish I can listen one more time. Maybe that one when we meet up in heaven. So emotional ministry to the elderly, a key component as they grapple with emotions of the past and the future to find meaning in their life. They need loving, empathetic listening, someone who cares for them to do this for them. And of course, this is time-consuming, but this is an act of love. Thirdly, spiritual care for the elderly. At every stage of life, we need God. In fact, even more now at this stage. At every stage of life also, we've got a different set of temptations. So just because they're elderly don't mean that they no longer grapple with spiritual issues and the need to grow in their faith. So whether it's Bible reading or prayer or community, these are things we need at all stages of life, all stages of life. But now we have to talk about very practical things like Bible now. They need large print. Can you get that for them? Now I'm reading giant print. Small print cannot read. I need giant print. So this is a small thing. You don't think it's a big spiritual thing, but for them to access the scripture at this stage of life, they do need Bibles that they can actually read. We think about coming to church meetings, for prayer meetings, for church worship, which in this COVID period, of course, we can't, and maybe there's a good time to rethink how we do these things. But they may be too tired to come. They may be afraid to drive at night because their eyes don't see so well in the darkness. They may be physically struggling to travel at all. So do we expect them to come to the usual spiritual disciplines of the church? Or maybe we think of how to bring church to them? Again, all this needs a major rethink. Do we then bring a fellowship to them or celebrate Lord's Supper with them? As Baptists, we are not sacramental or what. These are practical things we do. Even sharing the Lord's Supper, breaking bread is a meal we share in a company of friends. And will they feel joyful to be reminded of God's presence when a small group comes over to sing, to break bread? And to do this on a regular basis. I tell you, sometimes the old become invisible to us. We only visit them, A, when we need something from them. B, during special occasions. So once a year, Christmas, then rest of the year, forget. Or thirdly, when they have a serious crisis. So they've got no serious crisis, pastor won't come. If pastor come, it must be serious crisis, you know, about to die or whatever. So other than that, they're actually invisible to us. How do we integrate community, which is a key function, a key basis of spiritual disciplines at this chapter of life? Maybe we ask them for advice. Fourthly, you know, this is physical, emotional, spiritual. Fourthly is relational. To be elderly can be very lonely. First of all, if you are now less able to travel and your peers also in the same stage, you may not be able to meet up as often as possible. Zoom lah. But not everyone is at ease with technology. Some adapt very well, some don't. And not only that, as you grow older, you find that your friends begin to pass away. Last year, I lost a very dear friend, John Kwa, who was my schoolmate in St. Xavier's, same age as me, from Ploticus. And last year, he passed away. And I said, well, this is my age, man. And more, these are the things that will happen. And so the struggle with loneliness is very real. And maybe we can think of how do we do intergen friendships, people from different generations. I think we all have different things to help each other with. We can learn from the old can learn from us. How do we help each other in some kind of more intergenerational formulation of the church? Finally, vocationally, young or old, we still need to do something meaningful with our life. We need meaningful work. But often as you grow older, probably a day comes when you may be retired from your paid vocation. You retire already, now you don't have a regular job. And what then, you know? And so suddenly, well, okay, play golf, learn ukulele or whatever. All these things are cool and great. I have no problems with that. But I think to be human also means we need to do something meaningful with our life. So I think work is more than just paid occupations. Are there now new things you can explore? They can help them explore. Maybe it's cooking, baking, whatever. You know, there's so many things now which they wanted to try, but they were too busy making a living. How do we help the elderly discover meaningful things? Not just as some kind of consolation prize, but things that they really are excited about. And there are many things they can still do as volunteers. So many ministries out there need volunteers to help, both in the church as well as in NGOs. And if the seniors are still healthy, they have so much life experience to give. You know? With better health care, better diet, more people will live longer and will be fairly healthy. And it's a pity to see them as just a bunch of people who are old, so they're not useful anymore. Sometimes when you get old, people think that you are no longer useful. This is a fatal assumption. Again, some may have dementia and they may need help. Some are still at the top of their game and need some way to express their giftings, their passions, you know, and how can we help them do that? And of course, they can find places of ministry in the church. So I that's why I am actually not too happy with, you know, with the pass the baton, you know. Oh, now it's time for a new generation to come up, so we have to pass the baton. So in my mind, pass baton, that means once I pass already, I don't need to do any work already. So I'm someone who's older in life, I've chosen my successors in my ministry or at work, I pass them the baton, don't need to do anything anymore. But I think that is a poor analogy, because I think God's work is so important and so inclusive, it needs all of us. Although our contributions may differ at different chapters of life, but we need everyone on board, just that our contributions may be different. And so there's another problem where people in positions of power cannot let go. You know, maybe it's already time for you to let go, but they cannot let go. They continue to hang on, being the chairman of this, senior pastor of that, whatever, because this is their identity is built by their work and by their position and not by God. So it cannot let go. They're so terrified of letting go. But then when you don't move on, when you're supposed to move on, you actually cause damage to the organization or to the fellowship. So when I tell these folks who are more senior that I think it's time to move on, I won't tell them it's time to retire, especially in the ministry context. I will tell them it's time for you to reframe your ministry at this stage. Maybe now you do more mentoring, more encouragement, as a resource person, as a prayer warrior, but you are still needed. And this is not just saying nice things to make them feel good. This is actually helping seniors to rediscover what they can do at this chapter of life. But they still have things that they can do. In fact, they should do. Within the boundaries of what they can do. Some, if they cannot do anything, then they will still have value because they teach us lessons of care and patience. Even if they are just receiving care, that is still educational. It means we now, because we have to care for these people, we are still benefiting because we learn lessons of patience and care that shapes our Christ-likeness. But seniors still need to be engaged. And in fact, I think the old days when people retire at 55 was actually quite deadly. So people after 55 don't know what to do. Then they tend to deteriorate after that, which is not God's plan. God's plan is we should be, you know, like Caleb looking for more mountains to conquer, you know, within my stamina level, but new mountains to conquer at every chapter of life. So these are five areas. Let's do a quick evaluation of your church. How are you caring for the seniors? How are you caring for them in these five areas? How are you caring for the seniors in terms of their physical health, their emotional health, which is often the most neglected, their spiritual health, their relational health? Are they connected to meaningful relationships in their life? And also, how are they doing vocationally? Are you helping them to find meaningful areas of service, whether it's in church, in their family, in society, so they're still contributing meaningfully until the day the Lord calls us home? This then is a checklist. I think these five things, of course, true for all age groups. As you think of all the age groups, we should think in the framework of these five things. How do we do these five things for youth, young adults, adults? How do we see them thriving in these all five areas? But I think with the kind of numbers we are facing now, the church has to take seriously the call for God to stand up and respect the elderly. We cannot just laissez faire, wait until things happen. Cannot really. So the numbers are large and will get larger. And if we are like the sons of Issachar who know the times, this will be a key area for us to be God's church, that we are a family where all generations in the family are equally valued and whose needs are taken seriously, all generations, including the elderly. And I will tell you that there are also a lot of evangelistic implications as well, because it's not just the church, of course, that's aging. Society is aging. They're also looking for answers. They're also looking for how do we value the elderly. And if the church can provide a powerful model of how we value everyone, including the elderly, I think it will make a powerful gospel statement that our God is a God that values everyone, not just those who are productive, independent, clever, or what. We value everyone at any stage of life. And I believe that will attract some to Christ, and some will come to accept the gospel because they see the church taking this seriously. So, brothers and sisters, you invited me to speak on this topic. I'd like to believe the Lord has already been speaking to you. And I know that in all these kind of major changes, it's not overnight we solve everything. But as you pray, as you think about the future of Ferris Park, I think we need to pray and think, how can we make this church more and more inclusive for all the generations? And maybe what is before us now in particular will be the seniors, so that we can truly be seen as a community that has reverence for God, because we have reverence for seniors. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for Ferris Park Baptist Church, who has been around a long time and has touched many lives. And you have called them to be your light on the hill in this new day and age, a day and age of many changes, many challenges. But they have heard your voice speaking to them about the need to be a family that cares for all, including the elderly. And Lord, may you assure them that you will guide them how to do this. They are not to depend on their own wisdom. They are not to be overly guilty that they are not doing well enough. But rather, they are to seek you. And you will give them the guidance and the grace to be a church that really is inclusive, and where everyone of all age groups feel loved and welcome. And may this also lead to many outside the kingdom of God to see the heart of the King and come into the kingdom as well. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.